Good morning. Good morning, members of Capital Investment, and to the public, and to those who are here to present their bills, and the testifiers to advocate for their cities. Welcome. Welcome. Today is March 11th. We have a quorum. And so let's see here. Representative Frederick, do I have a motion to approve the minutes from Thursday, March 6th?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Fantastic. Thank you. Members, are there any discussion, comments, concerns? Nope. All right. Seeing none, minutes are approved from March 6th. All right, members, we have a very, very busy day ahead of us for bills, lots of needs out there. But that's what happens when bonding bills don't get passed all the time. And with that said, we're going to call you up and just for members, the first member that gets up there, I'm going to call off a couple of other names. Please go behind the testifying table with your testifiers so that we can just keep the train running smoothly. And as of now, we have about 5 minutes per bill, and we will keep a strict time on that. And Ms. Nelson here will hold up a sign letting you know how many minutes and when that time is up. And when that time is up, I may just do this with my neck, and you'll know that you can't talk anymore, and it's time to move on.org. All right. Well, thank you so much. And with that, let's call up Representative Rapinski for House File 220, and then we're going to have Representative Mecklen followed by Representative Igoe. So if Representative Mecklen and Igoe will make their way behind with their testifiers, that would be awesome. All right. Representative Rapinski, House File 220, you may state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. Do you have any testifiers with you today? Okay.
They may come up
with you. Are they with you right now?
They are online.
Oh, they're online. Okay, great. I didn't know if you had invisible friends today or not, but they are via Zoom. That is great. Go ahead and come.
Thank you, Chair Franch, and fellow reps. The City of Winona Wastewater Treatment Facility is over 50 years old. Though the city has continued to invest in upgrades, including renewable energy generation from the biogas, the city is now facing a significant improvement project to replace the original treatment technology with a new technology that can meet the impending MPCA mandated nutrient removal requirements. The city estimates the total project to be about $36 million and is requesting $12 million from the bonding bill. At this time, I'll invite my testifiers to help answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
I have testifiers,
City Manager Chad Ubel and Director of Public Works City Engineer Brian Dufresne with me today.
All right. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, this is Brian DeBrang with City of Winona. Chair Franson and committee members, thank you for hearing us today. We're here to talk about our wastewater treatment upgrades. This, as Aaron already spoke to, this was because of a phosphorus mandate put on us by the MPCA. We are to have our project completed by 2028. And from when we first started designing this project up until now, this inflation of this type of work has doubled, if not 250% of where we first started. We first started right around $14 million. Now we're at $36 million for the estimate. And part of the inflation is due to all these mandates being put on at once for the lack of contractors, lack of materials, and obviously the inflation that took place since COVID has extremely increased the price of this project. As Aaron said earlier, the cost is approximately $36 million. Our city has approximately 20% of the population at or below the poverty level. So this will obviously be a very large impact for the average resident for paying the monthly, quarterly sewer bills. From our inception of this, we have been raising rates, and by the time we're done raising rates, they will have increased 700% from where we started. Obviously, our rates were low to begin with, but this will put us in the top 15% of rates across the state. That is not something the average citizen is going to be used to, especially the elderly on a fixed income, Social Security, and not having the affordability to handle the price increases. Current interest rates of bonding have also added to the cost. The rates have gone up nearly double in the last few years, so that has significantly increased this project payback amount. We have applied for other funding. PFA, as you're aware, was not awarded last year due to lack of the bonding bill, and we are in the running for a federal grant of approximately $1.5 million, but that has not yet been awarded. We currently are finishing a treatment plant upgrade of approximately $3 million, and we just recently replaced and upgraded several of our lift stations for the tune of $5 million. So we have spent a fair amount recently, but this is another expense that we would like some assistance with. I'm going to turn it over to Chad to wrap this up for us.
Chair Franson and committee members, Chad Ugle, City Manager for the City of Winona. In closing, we'd like to note that last week the state's budget forecast was released. In that messaging, we heard words like expenditures over revenue, inflation, federal government policies. We continue to hear about a looming recession, higher insurance costs, the rising cost of groceries, and the state's need for affordable housing. Our concern for Winona mirror all those things mentioned, yet what stands out for local taxpayers is the trickle-down of these looming issues. What will make housing unaffordable is limited or no funding for state mandates, as the local taxpayer sees an increase in their utility bill that will outpace inflation. If Winona receives limited or no funding, we would ask the state to consider moving the mandate deadlines back so that local governments can continue to seek funding sources so that the inflated price of the mandate does not force local taxpayers into unaffordable housing situations. The City of Winona would be forced to take out debt to pay for this mandate, which is a double-edged sword in that there is discussion at the federal level of removing the tax-exempt status of that debt issuance, which, of course, means increased taxes for Winona taxpayers to pay off that debt. Again, we thank you for your time and hearing our testimony today.
Thank you. Representative Ryer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. Could you confirm the amount of the state bond that you're looking for, please?
The amount on this bond?
Representative Rapinski.
Thank you, Chair. We're hoping for $12 million, I believe, on this bonding bill.
Madam Chair? Okay, I just noticed on the...
Representative Ryer?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I noticed on the bill itself that it says 8.5, so I just wanted to clarify.
Representative Rapinski, is this a project that can be phased? And if so, what's that phasing look like?
I will, thank you, Madam Chair. I will turn that over to my testifiers. I believe this project could be phased, but I want them to weigh in on that.
Mr. DeFraying or Mr. Ubel, who wants to take that?
I can take that. This is Brian DeFraying again. This would be very difficult because it is basically we're putting a building together. We have it scheduled as a two-year project right now, but it'd be difficult to phase this.
I'm sorry, could you state that again?
It would be difficult to phase this project because we're adding a building, and it all goes in our one roof.
Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. All right, any other further member questions? Leadley? Nothing? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for testifying today, City of Winona. We appreciate that. Thank you, Representative Rapinski, for presenting in front of the bonding committee. Representative, you're done.
You can go.
Thank you. You're cut off. Representative Mecklen and Igo, I've got to have Representative Moeller up first because she's got a committee to go to real quick, and she's got one bill up. Is that okay? Thank you. Representative Moeller, please make your way to the testifying table with your testifiers. Please state your name for the committee, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for accommodating me, too. Very much appreciate it. Madam Chair and members, the City of Arden Hills is requesting $563,000 for the construction and replacement of an aging sanitary sewer lift force main that is in the early stages of failure. The sanitary sewer force main is so important because it services numerous schools, Bethel University, and 640 residential homes. There are also some large parks located directly downstream of this 65-year-old pipe, putting these at great risk of illicit discharge as a result of breaks and leaks. Arden Hills is a small community that since 2015 has invested $1.9 million into inflow and infiltration elimination projects. And if completed now, this force main project will protect against sewer backups and will avoid ripping up a new county road service the county's planning on putting in soon. So with me today is the mayor of Arden Hills, David Grant.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
David Grant, Mayor of Arden Hills. Madam Chair, representatives, I would add that this is a 10-inch force main. It is the largest force main in Arden Hills. It is also the most important force main. Not only do we want to avoid ripping up a new county road that's going to be constructed, not doing this project would put the force main at risk because they're going to be building a new road right over the top of it. The force main is made of cast iron. Arden Hills has clay soils.
Could you just speak a little, a little bit more.
Thank you. Also referred to as hot. So over 65 years, that acidic soil has basically eaten and compromised that force main. Over the past 5 years, we've had two breaks. Every time they go down to take a look at the pipe where they repair the break, it's deteriorating and needs to be done. It represents 18% of our annual budget. City of Arden Hills has 30% of its property values in tax-exempt property. So this represents basically an expenditure that's 18% of our expenditure budget of $6.7 million. So given the nature of this, the city is basically forced to do it at this point in time. At this point, I guess I'll take questions.
Okay. Members, do we have any questions? No? Okay, seeing none, thank you very much for your time. Oh, do we have one? Representative Carroll.
Thank you.
You may want to just be a little bit more forceful when you want to ask a question.
You turned away right when I was.
Oh, okay. Right. Be a little quicker on the draw there, Representative Carroll.
Try to ignore me. So, thank you very much for the presentation. Explain again the situation with regard to the county road and the timing and the phasing of it. You wouldn't do this project and then rip up the road again, would you?
Representative Grant, I meant Mayor Grant. We wouldn't want to downgrade your position.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative. The county road is going to be replaced here in 26, and as such, if this project were done later, you would have to rip up a brand new county road. Also, the issue is if the project were not done and the county came in to do County Road E, they're driving heavy equipment across the road in order to rebuild County Road E, and the force main is already compromised. We know that. So the vibration could very easily collapse the force main.
Right. Representative Carroll.
Thank you, Chair. So just quickly, are you working with the county then to phase it or to time it in terms of, you know, getting this, if you get this funding and do this project and then do the force main?
Mayor Grant.
The road?
Madam Chair, Representative, yes, we are working with Ramsey County. They want to come in and do the road replacement project. That is why we're essentially being forced to do the project at this point in time so that we can combine them.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, Representative Moeller. Thank you for making your way down, Mayor Grant, to testify on behalf of Arden Hills.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Representative Igel, you're up with three bills. Mecklen, sorry. Huh. Representative Mecklen, I skipped you. It's always because you're so quiet.
Sure.
Representative Mecklen, House File 230 for Big Lake. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Frazin. Yes, I'm Representative Shane Mecklen, representing the fine city of Big Lake. As you can see by your very sexy handout, they have themselves in a bit of a crappy situation. The remedy to such is north of $50 million, and I have the pleasure of having the mayor of Big Lake, Mr. Paul Kinnear, and the city administrator, Hannah Klimek, to explain the project at hand. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen.
Could you please state your name for the record, and then you may proceed.
I'm Paul Kinnear. This is Hannah Klimek. I am the mayor of Big Lake. Hannah is the city administrator. We want to thank you, Chair Franzen, and committee members for allowing us to testify today. And thank you, Representative Mecklen, for bringing this bill forward. The motto of Big Lake is Live Big. We're in a high-growth community, a desirable community. People are pushing, and we all know people are pushing out of the metro, past the outer rings. We are kind of on the outskirts. We're still drivable to the metro area. It's a very desirable place to live. With that, growth and demand have been greater than expected. That brings about the issue that we're here to talk about today. We have a wastewater treatment plant that is at 90% capacity, and that brings us to two major problems. One is we face the risk of outright infrastructure failure, and two, it is greatly limiting development in our community, business development, business expansion, residential development. At 90%, it won't be just too long before we will have to start telling developers no. And we do have lots of developable land in Big Lake. So we are we're a great place for businesses to invest. We've been investing local funds into improvements for decades, but now we face a major expansion. As Representative Mecklen mentioned, $52.8 million is the price tag. That's a lot for a community of our size. It's 7 to 8 times our annual budget for our entire community. We're requesting help from the state to the tune of $25 million. We want to repair, replace structures and equipment. We want to implement biosolids treatment and handling improvements. We want to add treatment capacity, of course. In essence, we want to be more sustainable and more efficient. So on behalf of the great residents of the great city of Big Lake, who will incur a fairly substantial rate increase with or without the help of this bonding bill, but we'd sure appreciate if we could keep that rate increase both manageable and affordable for our residents. So thank you again for allowing us to testify.
Mayor, when you talk about rate increases with or without, could you give us just a lay of the land?
Yes, without the help, we're looking at about a 15% annual increase. That's a big hit. With help, it would still be approximately a 6% annual increase.
All right, thank you. Ms. Klimek, did you have anything to add to that?
Madam Chair.
State your name for the record.
Hannah Klimek, City Administrator for the City of Big Lake. I couldn't have stated it better myself.
Okay, great. Members, Representative Carroll, are you our frequent flyer today?
I am.
Okay, great.
I'm going to take over for Representative Skrobit this morning. Okay. So quickly, what does that translate to nominally, the 15% rate increase?
15% rate increase. I had that in an email. I believe it was from, if I'm remembering correctly, they're currently paying about $52 a month, and it would go to about $83. Mm. From $52 a month currently, and it would go to about $83 a month. With help, it would go to about $61 a month.
All right. Thank you. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple quick questions. I was wondering, do you know how many houses or residential units you have along with businesses? And then I was also wondering, can this project be phased? Thank you.
Great questions. I do not know the number of businesses. Perhaps Ms. Klimek could answer that. I will say that the number of houses, if I'm remembering correctly, we have a population of about 13,000. I should let you answer this too, but I'm going to take a guess at about 4,000 to 5,000 homes.
Yes, that is a good guess. Yep. And for businesses, we can get that information to you through Mecklen here.
Okay, great. Thank you. Lidley.
Oh, there was one more question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you all for the presentation. So in the bill language, I believe you received $1 million appropriations in 2018. And so how have you encumbered the 2018 appropriation, and what was that used for? Thank you.
Mayor? Or Ms. Klimek?
I'll allow you, Anna.
Yes, yeah. Madam Chair. That $1 million in 2018 went towards our wastewater facilities plan, and that has been reviewed and approved by the MPCA.
Thank you. Mayor, what was the last
name? Kinnear.
Kinnear. What about phasing? $25 million is a big chunk for our committee. Our bonding bill isn't as large as we would like it to be for this year. So what about phasing? Oh, Ms. Klimek?
Yes, Madam Chair. Phasing would not be appropriate for this project due to our engineers' comments. They have said it would definitely drive the costs up. So doing it all at once would be ideal.
Okay. Any other further member questions? No? Okay, Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, thank you for making your way down, and thanks for advocating for your city today. Representative Igel, you've got three bills followed up. We are then going to have Representative Warwas. So Representative Warwas, if you want to make your way to the back with your testifiers, and then we'll play it from ear from there. Representative Igo, first up, you have Floodwood with House File 241. I love Floodwood. That's my stomping grounds.
And 240. So 241.
241. And then, oh, 240 is first. Never mind. I skipped that one. Keewatin. Okay. Keewatin. Okay, we got Keewatin up first. House File 240. Please state your name for the record. You may continue.
Good morning, Chair Franson, members of the Capital Investment Committee, and thank you for the opportunity to present House File 240, a bill that provides critical funding for public infrastructure for the city of Keewatin. Keewatin is a proud Iron Range community in Itasca County, located along Highway 169. With a rich history rooted in mining, Keewatin has long been a central part of Minnesotans' iron ore industry, supporting both local jobs and our state's economy. Like many communities on the range, Keewatin's infrastructure has aged significantly, and upgrades to essential public systems are needed to support residents, businesses, and future development. House File 240 would authorize state bonds to help modernize the city's public infrastructure, ensuring reliable water, sewer, and road systems that are critical to daily life and economic sustainability. Investing in public infrastructure is a responsible and necessary step to ensure that greater Minnesota communities like Keewatin remain strong, livable, and economically competitive. I appreciate the committee's consideration and respectfully ask you to support House File 240. With me today in support of this bill is Mayor Labine and Ellen Lemke, City Engineer for the City of Keewatin.
Mayor Labine, do you want to state your name for the record and continue?
Chair Franson, members of the House Capital Investment Committee, my name is Mike Labine, Mayor of City of Keewatin. Thank you, Representative Igo, for introducing this bill. On behalf of our city, I'm here asking for $5.5 million in state funds to help our community upgrade critical infrastructure throughout Keewatin. We, along with our consulting city engineer, Ellie Lemke, from SEH, recently completed a draft capital improvement plan identifying numerous areas in need of improvements, water mains, sewer lines, storm sewer systems, and streets. Many of our mains, pipes, and connections are old and deteriorated. This has led to significant inflow and infiltration issues, as well as deteriorated streets and utilities. The proposed project aims to replace and reconstruct these systems, ensuring they meet the current design standards. The improvements will consist of reconstruction of the underground storm sewer, sanitary sewer, and water main utilities, which will then necessitate the full construction of subgrade base curb and gutter. Keewatin is in partnership with the neighboring city of Nashwauk on wastewater treatment, and we are also working to expand this partnership to include Lone Pine Township. Additionally, there have been discussions with U.S. Steel's Keetac facility for the city to convey their domestic wastewater system to our system. It is imperative for the city of Keewatin to maintain our infrastructure to help ensure the longevity of the wastewater treatment system project. The total cost of this project is estimated at $11 million, with $5.5 million requested from state bonding and the remaining $5.5 million coming from local and federal sources. We recognize this is a significant request. If we are unable to secure the amount requested, we have a contingency plan in place to adjust the scope of the project to reflect the amount awarded. This project is crucial for our little city, as it will not only extend the life of our roads and utilities, but also improve the overall appearance of our city, reduce maintenance costs, and instill a greater sense of pride among our residents. Keewatin is a small city with a low medium household income and high percentage of low to moderate income residents. Without the help of funding, we would not have the capability to complete these essential projects. We also have a new mine coming in our area, Mesaba Metallics, which is going to provide 350 to 500 jobs. We need to provide housing. With that, we need infrastructure. The project timeline includes design completion by March of 2026, project bidding in April of 2026. Madam Chair and members, I appreciate your time and consideration. I am happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you, Mayor Labine. Ms. Lemke, did you have things to add? Please state your name for the record.
Ellen Lemke, City Engineer of City of Keewatin. I could not have said it better myself. The mayor did a wonderful job.
Okay, great. Thank you. Members, any questions? Okay, sounds like a contingency plan. So I take it you are, if the project was, you know, not fully funded and funded at a later time, sounds like you have a phasing in place, Mayor, or Ms.
Yes.
Lemke?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, that is good news to the committee's ears. Members, any questions? None? Okay, Representative Igoe.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. We're grateful for your consideration today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for making your way down here today from Keewatin. We appreciate you advocating for your city. Next up, Representative Igoe, we go now to Floodwood. House File 241.
Madam Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to present House File 241, a bill that's going to provide critical funding for water and sewer infrastructure to the city of Floodwood. Floodwood is a small but vital community in northern Minnesota, located at the junction of Highways 2 and 73, and often referred to as the Gateway of the North. With a population of just under 500 residents, Floodwood serves as an important hub for travelers, businesses, and local industries in the surrounding area. Like many rural communities, Floodwood faces aging water and sewer infrastructure that is increasingly difficult to maintain and in urgent need of upgrades. House File 241 would authorize state bonding to help replace and modernize these essential systems, ensuring safe drinking water, reliable wastewater, and environmental sustainability for residents and businesses. Investing in infrastructure is core to the stability of communities like Floodwood, and I greatly appreciate your support along with our community of Floodwood. With me today in support of this bill is Floodwood Mayor Tad Farrell.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record. You may proceed, Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tad Farrell, Mayor of the City of Floodwood. The City of Floodwood is seeking $2 million in state funding to expand infrastructure along County Road 832, commonly known as Floodwood Road. The city would utilize the funding to expand water, wastewater, fire hydrants, system flushing, and streets on the 127.5-acre parcel the city acquired for business and housing development. The city has a phase one environmental study completed and has hired a firm to coordinate with housing committee to propose zoning, plotting, and developing a master plan to accomplish this feat by early fall 2025. Floodwood is located at the intersection of Highway 2 and Minnesota State Highway 73. Some would say Floodwood is in the middle of nowhere. We like to say that we're in the center of everything. We are located 35 to 40 miles from Duluth, Cloquet, Grand Rapids, Hibbing, Moose Lake, and due to our geographical location, Floodwood serves as a regional hub for MnDOT Truck Station, DNR Forestry Office, St. Louis County Public Works Building, Arrowhead Transit, as well as Floodwood Services and Training, which services adults struggling with physical and mental challenges. Floodwood has a kindergarten through 12th grade school and is also home to a medical and dental clinic that benefits underserved patients throughout northeastern Minnesota. Our median household income is $33,274, whereas St. Louis County median household income is $53,344, and the state median household income is $74,593. Percentage, I think I missed something there. Okay. Our low to moderate income percentage is 70.21%. Our tax base is significantly smaller than the larger communities that surround Floodwood. Increasing property taxes has a significant impact on our residents and businesses. A substantial amount of property within the city of Floodwood is tax exempt, and it's approximately 33% of the property is tax exempt. This expansion project is number one priority for the city of Floodwood. Lack of infrastructure is affecting the ability for new families to move into the area, as well as any businesses to expand or new businesses to build in the city. Lack of infrastructure also affects our school. It is difficult for new teachers to find stable housing, who often have to commute over 40 minutes one way for housing. It is very important for City of Floodwood to undertake infrastructure expansion and will enhance residential development and increase commercial and retail activity. Without water, wastewater, fire hydrant system flushing and streets, additional housing and new business need cannot be accomplished. We are asking for your support in this $2 million to have the City of Floodwood remain the center of everywhere.
Thank you, Mayor. I grew up in the Saginaw, Elborn area, so very familiar with Floodwood.
Nice.
Members, do we have any questions? Representative Carroll, thank you for not disappointing me.
Well, I always seek not to, Chair. So I appreciate you being here. You're here because you've annexed some land and you're going to develop it?
Correct.
Okay. Madam Chair, may I ask
Representative
a serious
Carroll,
question?
Yes.
So have you identified developers, or is this being on spec?
Mayor?
Right now we're working. We haven't developed any. We haven't identified any developers, but we did hire Ingenza, and they're helping us with the zoning plotting and getting a master plan, so then we can move forward from there.
Okay.
Representative Carroll.
And can you incorporate development fees into your plats to cover the cost of this?
Mayor Carroll?
Yes. We can, but in northern Minnesota, when you start putting too many fees on top of a development or on the property, you start outpricing the house for what people, it's affordable housing in northern Minnesota is a lot different than it is in the cities. You take a lot that costs $15,000, you start putting all these fees on there and it moves it up to $25,000, that increases the price of the house, and you can outprice yourself pretty quick.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Carroll. The Iron Range is just a little bit different than some of the other portions of the state.
I understand.
Right. Members, any other further questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you for coming down from a great part of the state, Mayor Farrell, and
thank you.
Advocating for Floodwood. Representative Igo, next up you have House File 295 for Hibbing.
Madam Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to present, this is which one, House File 295 now. Hibbing, like many of our communities across greater Minnesota, faces aging water infrastructure that is increasingly costly to maintain and is in urgent need of upgrades. Safe and reliable drinking water is essential for public health, economic development, and an overall quality of life. This bill authorized state bonding funds to support the necessary improvements to Hibbing's water system, ensuring clean and sustainable water for residents and businesses to come. And just to add, this is kind of a theme we're working on for the cities across greater Minnesota, that as we want to continue to diversify our economies and build out housing and build the next generation of Minnesotans, we need to have infrastructure that's ready. So with this, I'll hand off to Hibbing Public Utilities General Manager Luke Peterson.
If you want to state your name for the record.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. My name is Luke Peterson. I'm the General Manager of Hibbing Public Utilities. Chair Franzen, all members of the committee, thank you for your time today. I'm here to speak on behalf of Hibbing Public Utilities and the 16,000 residents that depend on us for safe and reliable drinking water. Our system is aging and our infrastructure is deteriorating, and without action, our ability to serve our community, the community that brought us Bob Dylan, Kevin McHale, and the fourth place Hibbing High School boys hockey with the best hair in the state of Minnesota is at risk. Our analysis indicates that Hibbing is 1.5 million gallons a day short of meeting peak critical demand. That means during the midst of a water break as well as a fire, we might not be able to serve our town with enough water. And colleague Sue in our engineering department just reported the losses for water for last month. We have 7.5 million gallons of water lost through distribution leaks in the month of February alone. So in human perspectives, if you can imagine our water towers, if you came to Hibbing, they're about 1 million gallons in each tank. We have lost in the month of February alone 7.5 water towers of water. That's almost a whole week's supply of water is leaking from our pipes on a regular basis during our critical breaks. And as I'm passing around, commissioners, that is not iced tea or hot chocolate. That is water from our water treatment plant. That is the cleaning water that goes through the backwash. We filter out iron and manganese, the green sand filters. Many of you were on the capital investment tour in the fall of 2023. Thank you for coming. I just wanted to share that around. We call that Iron Range lemonade. So the cost of Hibbing's water infrastructure plan, we have a bold plan of over 10 years, will cost over $87 million to do it right. That is a tall ask for our community, which hovers around $50,000 a year median household income, much lower than the state's average. Over the past few years, we have replaced 17,000 feet of water main, but that's nearly not enough. We have over 50 miles of pipes we have to replace in addition to source of supply and water treatment needs to keep pace with the abandoning of Scranton Well, so Hibbing Tack and I continue to mine. So with that, Chair, I yield the time to questions if any others have, but we appreciate your support on this critical issue for Hibbing.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? I certainly do have a comment. Representative Igel, you did not bring any povaticha with you to the committee, so next time maybe you will bring some.
Madam Chair, I'll follow up with that.
Thank you. Lidley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. So in your handout for the distribution system projects, at least for project year 2026, and it's roughly $7 million or so, and so I guess that's how we could phase it if we were to consider this then because of those different dates. And then how are these different from the water supply and treatment projects? Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Representative Lee, for the question. The project is about a 50% match to our total budget of $24 million, which is about $12 million for water treatment and then another $12 million for distribution projects overall. So that's how it fits in. So it's about, depending on how you dice it up, it's either all treatment or all distribution or 50-50.
Okay. So do you need all the $12 million up front?
We appreciate as much as the committee can spend, but this is a phased approach, as I mentioned. The reason for our bold planning is to do a 10-year time horizon to make the most of our bold plan. So, okay. Yes, we can phase.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Members, any further questions for the City of Hibbing? Nope. Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming down here today to advocate. Thank you, Representative Igoe. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Okay, next up we're going to have Representative Warwas, who actually did bring treats, so thank you. And if we could have a page grab the bags back here and hand those out. Do we have any pages in here today?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. They're right there. Representative Warwas, and then we are going to go to Representative Van Binsbergen. So if you want to make your way behind the testifying table with your testifiers, you have one bill up. Right, Representative Warwas, please state your name for the record. You may proceed with House File 429.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I am Cal Warwas from the serving the heart of the Iron Range. And I did bring treats today, as per our custom and as required, from the Don Panchos Bakery in St. Paul, so I hope you enjoy them. Madam Chair and members, thank you for the opportunity to present House File 429, a bill that provides crucial funding for wastewater treatment facility improvements in the city of Eveleth. Eveleth, as you know, is a historic Iron Range city in St. Louis County, known for its deep mining roots, strong working-class community, and is the home of the much-talked-about United States Hockey Hall of Fame. Located along U.S. Highway 53, Eveleth plays an important role in the region's economy. Like many communities across greater Minnesota, Eveleth is facing aging infrastructure challenges, particularly with its wastewater treatment system. House File 429 would authorize state bonding funds to support necessary upgrades to Eveleth's wastewater treatment facility, ensuring that the city can continue to provide safe, efficient, and environmentally responsible water management services. These improvements are essential to protecting local waterways, supporting economic growth, and preventing costly maintenance issues in the future. By supporting this bill, we are ensuring that Eveleth remains a strong and sustainable community for residents, businesses, and future generations, and $850,000 is the ask for the phase one pre-development of this project. And I appreciate your consideration, and with me today to testify is Eveleth Mayor Adam Rowan, to my right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Rowan. Mayor Rowan, you may state your name for the record and proceed.
Hello, my name is Adam Rowan. I'm the mayor of Eveleth. I appreciate you allowing me to be here today. I've never been referred to as a treat, though.
Every day is a new surprise.
I mean, maybe in high school I thought it might have been that way, but I haven't been that way since. You've heard a lot of mayors, people just talking and reading what they want to discuss with you, and I think that it's easier just kind of lay it out there. This is something that you guys are all aware of as a whole, of what a lot of communities are working against. And when I was elected mayor just a few months ago, I was never expecting to come here to talk about wastewater. But here I am. With that being said, I will keep it short and brief for you. The city of Eveleth found out that, like others, phosphorus and mercury levels are a little too high for what we're working with. And what our goal is to work with my counterpart here from MSA Professional Services, Tom Dye, to create a facility that we can get the filtration so we can get our levels where they need to be so we can save Elbow Creek and Elbow Lake with those increases that we have seen. You've heard the words from just about everybody that spoke the words, deteriorating, aging, complying. All those words work with Eveleth as well. We are looking to hit all of those goals, and right now we're looking at a $12 million project that honestly our city, with a 25% poverty rate, is not ready to tackle on its own. We've taken roughly 30% rate increase over the last year, roughly January 24 we did this, to try to tackle this situation, but we're far from getting there. Excuse me. Without any assistance of any sorts, our community would be looking at about a $50 per household rate increase, which would be something that would be pretty astronomical for many of our households. Between our fixed incomes and the poverty rate, you've pretty much now have heard most of the citizens of the city of Eveleth. So with that being said, if you don't mind, if I can hand it to Mr. Dye to explain a little bit more of what it is, because I will never pretend to know everything about everything.
Mr. Dye, if you want to state your name for the record and proceed.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Tom Dye with MSA Professional Services. Right now the city of Eveleth just simply can't meet the proposed effluent limits by MPCA. And in addition, their current rates before we even start this project are already at the PFA affordability index of 1.4% of median household income. So, yeah, as the mayor stated, without any kind of assistance, they're looking at about 85% increase in rates. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Members, questions, comments? No? Representative Warwas?
Members, I hope we can have your support on our project here, and I hope you enjoyed the treats.
Thank you for bringing those.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Moved up a notch over Representative Igo, so that helps.
As good as these might be, Madam Chair, I don't think they could compete with Iron Range Petitza.
No, they can't, but it's a start. Thank you. All right. Thank you for making your way down here from the big city of Eveleth. We appreciate you advocating for them. Next up, Representative Warwas, you have House File 574 for the city of Aurora.
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair and members, again, thank you for the opportunity. House File 574, this bill provides crucial funding for a new drinking water system to serve the East Range Water System and its member communities. So it's not just Aurora, it's Aurora, Hoyt Lakes, Town of White, and possibly also the city of Iwabic at some point. The East Range Water System serves several communities in northeastern Minnesota. These Iron Range cities rely on shared water system that's essential for providing clean, safe drinking water to residents, businesses, and industries in the region. Aurora, located in St. Louis County, is a historic mining town that continues to play a key role in the region's economy and outdoor recreation opportunities, sitting near the entrance of the Superior National Forest and the much-loved Giants Ridge Recreation Area. House File 574 would authorize state bonding funds to help construct a new drinking water system, ensuring these communities have reliable access to safe and clean water for years to come. This investment is essential to supporting economic development, improving public health, and maintaining quality of life for residents. And I would just like to say that this community has done a very great job of engaging with federal and other regional partners, tooling up and getting going on this project. And so this ask that we have, which is $5 million, is basically to bring that to a close, I believe. And I'll let Mayor Doug Greger speak to that.
Thank you, Mayor. Please state your name for the record. Is it Mr. Greger?
Yes, it's Doug Greger, and I have the distinction of being both the Aurora mayor, but I'm also the chair of the East Range Water Board, which was formed in 2021 to move this project along. And we've been here before, so some of you veteran committee members may remember and have heard an explanation of the project. But unlike many of the projects that are coming before you, this project is in the midst of construction. And as Representative Borwas referred to the fact, we spent about 7 years amassing supplemental funding for this project and ultimately succeeded based on federal, state, and regional and every source we could come upon to get $21.5 million of funding pledged for a $33 million project. And that $33 million project, we've pared it down with value engineering by $2 million. We still have a gap of $10 million. So I'm talking on behalf of a community of Aurora that has, if not the lowest, one of the lowest median incomes in the state of Minnesota, about $32,300 median income. And our affordability rate, according to the PFA, is $48 per month, and we would have to go up to like 70 or 80. So we alternatively are seeking funding from the companion bill that tries to raise the WIF fund cap $5 million. So we ask your consideration of this request. And it's a live project. It's going to ultimately benefit Hoyt Lakes and maybe Biwabik, as the representative has said. And I thank you for your consideration, and I'm open to questions.
Thank you, Mayor. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Scraba.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
just want to make it clear, it does affect my district too, because Hoyt Lakes is in it now, which is good. Yep. But and it can expand, which is even better. I mean, Rangers have always been stubborn about getting along, and so sometimes it takes longer for your neighbor to see, oh, you're getting that.
I'm shocked. We're so cooperative.
You know, so I think it's a great idea. I was actually on the planning commission when this first in St. Louis County when it first came, so I've watched this project start, and I'm watching it through the fruition. But I want to make the comment you said about if the WIF funding comes in at $5 million, then this wouldn't need
comes in at $10 million.
$10 million.
Yeah.
Then you wouldn't need our money.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right. Any further questions? No? Representative Warros?
I appreciate everyone's consideration on this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for making your way down today, Mayor, and advocating for your city and for the surrounding area. All right, next up, Representative Warwas, you have House File 576.
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I promise this is my last one for today. Appreciate the opportunity. The bill provides, again, critical funding for infrastructure improvements, this time to the Central Iron Range Sanitary Sewer District, which serves multiple Iron Range communities, including Chisholm, Buell, Kinney, and Great Scott Township. This regional wastewater treatment system was established to ensure efficient, cost-effective, and environmentally responsible wastewater management for these communities. Like much of Minnesota's aging infrastructure, the district is in need of upgrades to maintain reliable operations, as you've heard from so many today. House File 576 would authorize state bonding funds to support necessary infrastructure improvements to the CIRSSD, ensuring continued protection of local waterways, public health, and economic development in the region. And these upgrades are essential to keeping wastewater treatment sustainable and affordable for the communities that rely on them. I just got to say, I recently toured this facility with Ryan Pervenancy, who's with me here today, a member of their board, and I can attest that they are a lean and efficient operation. They're doing a really great job over there, and I appreciate the committee's consideration, and I'll let Ryan speak to the rest of the details.
All right. I'm going to need a little help with your last name. Is it Mr. Perv? I'm not even going to try to.
Don't do it.
I'm not.
Thank
Please
you,
say
Chair.
Your name for the record and continue.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. My name is Ryan Pervenancy. Yeah, imagine trying to spell that when you're a kindergartner. It was a little difficult. But thank you, Chair Franzen, and members of the committee. Again, Ryan Pervenancy representing the Central Iron Range Sanitary Sewer District, which includes the cities of Chisholm, Buell, the Republic of Kinney, as they like to be called, plus Balkan and Great Scott Townships. You know, it is truly a partnership between these communities that were, you know, kind of ahead of the term in coming together to form a sewer district. You know, we've heard other projects talk about mercury and, you know, getting up to standards. We've done that with a lot of investment, close to $8 million in investments already by our ratepayers to, you know, control what's coming out of there to keep our water safe, you know, to make a plant that people want to come in and build. You know, and the exciting thing about this request is it's more for expansion and promoting economic development projects in the hopper, such as St. Louis County's proposed public works facilities along the Highway 169 corridor. There's also other opportunities with that new meatpacking facility is being proposed, which has some challenges given the nature of the industry. We've also looked at the communities of Buell and Chisholm focusing on housing developments with different projects, a 50-site development in Chisholm, another 25 in Buell, and also out in the townships. So what we're trying to do in our request is trying to stay ahead of the curve and, you know, being able to, you know, keep our rates low. I mean, one thing to note is we are still paying debt service on this facility until 2039. You know, the cities of Buell and Chisholm have already invested multi-millions of dollars in upgrading their infrastructure to address INI, to,
redo the old cast iron pipes and clay tile lines. So significant investments have already been made. You know, the nice thing, the request is small. We hope you consider a request, and I appreciate your time on behalf of the communities I represent and also Representative Warwas for his advocating and being willing to come out and take a look at what we actually do. It is a lean facility. It's a Class A facility, but we only have three staff maintaining that, and they do a fantastic job.
Thank you, Mr. Pervenanzi. Did I say that correctly?
100%, Chair.
Fantastic. Thank you. Members, do we have questions? No? Okay, thank you. Representative Warwas, do you have thoughts, final
thoughts? I'll just close this out. Thank you for your patience today and hearing three bills from me. So have a great day.
Thank you for making your way down to advocate. Appreciate that. Okay, next up we have Representative Van Binsbergen, and then we're going to have Representative Schulmacher. If you want to make your way up, I believe your testifiers are on Zoom. You are next, yes, with a big water tower. And then Representative Torkelson, you will be up next after Representative Schulmacher. So if you want to go back behind the testifying table with your testifiers to be ready, thank you. All right. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you. I'm Scott Van Binsbergen. I represent Minnesota House District 16A. So it's great to be here today. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I've testified here before about the City of Litchfield and First Districts Association and their need to address the related PCA requirements. First District, again, as I talked about maybe a week and a half ago, First District needs $10 million in cash for a pretreatment facility. But there's also another part of this request, and both requests are dependent upon each other. The City of Litchfield, which we are here for today, requests $3.75 million in GEO funding to enable a sewer separation infrastructure to isolate sanitary waste at the city sewer connection point from this new treatment facility. Human waste and waste from the dairy must be kept separate. Again, these are separate projects, but each are necessary for the expansion to continue. I have with me today the mayor of Litchfield, Ron Dingman, and the city administrator for Litchfield, Dave Chuck. Both are here today to explain the project and answer any questions that you have as a committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor, Mayor Dingman, please state your name for the record and you may proceed.
Yes. Ron Dingman, Mayor of Litchfield. First off, Madam Chair and Committee, thank you for hearing us today. We have a great partnership with First District Association that has been going back for many, many years. And with their expansion project that they have, they process milk for 45 counties in Minnesota. So they play a vital role in the dairy production in the state of Minnesota. So with that, I'll have City Administrator David Chuck take it from here. So.
Mr. Chuck, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you. Dave Chuck, City Administrator, Litchfield, Minnesota. Good morning. I've been working for the City of Litchfield for 23 years, and I've been sitting in this chair for 12. It's my first opportunity to be presenting here in front of the committee, and I appreciate your time here this morning. I'm sure a lot of the committee members are familiar with First District Association and the work that we're doing to allow for some expansion and making sure that we're meeting existing and future limits. At the same point in time, we're dealing with new limits coming from the MPCA. The City of Litchfield is looking at about a $47 million project to meet our total phosphorus limit. And First District is in the midst of their expansion. Right now we've got a single line that feeds one facility, and we're separating this out, so we got an industrial pretreatment facility. And if you're familiar with First District, they're located right in the center of our community. And in order to get their waste separated and brought out in the area of our existing wastewater treatment facility, we need to have a secondary line out there. We made an improvement in 2015, and that's a new line that's existing right now, but it includes both the residential waste and the industrial waste. And so we're hoping to separate it out, line an old existing line that ran out to the wastewater treatment plant, and then create some pumping stations and whatnot to get the circulation correct between the two facilities. I will also state we would appreciate your continued investment in wastewater infrastructure across the state of Minnesota. PSIG dollars and PFA funding are critical for the $47 million piece for our community and also for all the other wastewater needs that you're hearing about across the state of Minnesota. So with that, I will stand for any questions.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions? Is there a phasing capability to this project?
No, there's not. First District Association is currently in the building stages of their industrial facility, and I'm told that that will be online before the end of the year, and we need to get this in place prior to that.
All right, thank you. All right, no further questions. Representative Van Binsbergen, would you like to?
Sure.
Final words.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and committee members. Thank you for listening to us today. This has a huge impact on a big chunk of Minnesota. Where First District touches into 45 counties around the state, and there's just a really large financial impact as well. So your support would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do have former Representative Erdahl in the House as well. Just can't get rid of him, can we? Although he loves Litchfield, so we're happy that he's here. Okay, thank you so much for coming on down today to advocate for your city of Litchfield and, of course, First District. We know how important First District is to the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, Representative Torkelson. After Representative Torkelson, we will go to, Representative Schumacher, then Representative Torkelson. After Representative Torkelson, we will have Representative Smith. Representative Smith, if you want to make your way down to the testifying table with your testifiers, that would be amazing. Thank you. And Representative Schumacher, you may state your name for the record to talk about your big water tower, and I believe your testifiers are online.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is about a big water tower. Thanks for giving that away. That was my big lead-in.
I do not like surprises.
Me either, Madam Chair. And so the request is for $1 million for a water tower in the central to west part of Rock County, and I will turn it over to my testifiers as they're getting ready. I would just say that a lot of this is about the structural integrity of our water system and providing for damage preparedness during disasters.
All right. I'm not sure who wants to go first, Mr. Holtz or Mr. Binford, but please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Yeah, Ryan Holtz, manager of Rock County Rural Water. Good morning. Thank you for hearing our request this morning. Thank you, Representative Schumacher. We greatly appreciate it. We are requesting $1 million towards a 250,000-gallon water tower on the north side of our system. Our system is divided into three zones. This would take care of the north area again. We have a survey that's done by the Department of Health every year where they come around and survey the whole system. Every year for the last 5 years, they have wrote us up because we are greatly below what they designate what our storage should be. Our peak demands are about 1.3 million gallons a day, and we only have about 600,000 gallons of storage. So we need to increase that. Rock County Rural Water serves all of Rock County for the most part. Most of the rural residents, the small communities. Where we're looking to put the tower is served off two booster stations right now that run 24/7. So in the event that either of them go down, we struggle to keep up. The tower would also give us the ability to blend the Lewis and Clark water with our treatment plant water to give everyone high-quality water, provide fire protection in that area for the rural customers and the small cities we serve. In the event of a power outage or natural disaster, it would provide adequate pressurized storage, which we learned during the derecho a few years back is very important. It would also maintain a steady water pressure in the system to reduce main breaks. And again, we would not have to run our pumps 24/7, 365, which would greatly reduce our electrical usage and our environmental impact. Would help provide economic growth for our rural customers as well as our small cities. And the reason that we're putting in the request is we only have about 800 connections, even though we're a pretty large system.
Yes.
So if the tower were to be funded by Rock County Rural Water alone, it would put an unreasonable burden on our ratepayers. And when we budget, we have to be really careful how we budget. We're in a very rural area driven by livestock and agriculture, so we always try to get our budget to match to make sure that it works for the producers. Again, we're in violation of the MDH survey. Rock County Rural Water, again, you know, we're asking for the money or your support, because we spend a vast majority of our budget on operations expenses, updates to aging infrastructure, because our system is about 50 years old, and we also spend quite a bit on wellhead protection to ensure we have high-quality water now and in the future for our customers. Thank you, and I'm going to pass it on to actually Chad Overgaard. Eric Binford had to cancel at the last minute, so thank you very much.
Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
My name is Chad Overgaard, and I'm actually a livestock producer in Rock County. My grandparents signed up for Rock County Rural Water on its inception in, I believe, like 1979. So we have been rural water users pretty much my entire life. We raise about 15,000 head of hogs, feeder pigs, and all of our barns are on rural water. We've had troubles with wells, finding good water, and we've kind of just come to the conclusion that we need the rural water for our herd health. It reduces death loss, it promotes growth, and that's just on the livestock part of it. As far as like all the consumers in the county, we never have problems with any type of like equipment failures as far as like, you know, water lines filling up with minerals and other odds and ends that we used to always fight when we had just straight well water. And it's a real big deal to get that tower up just to make sure that we can provide, like in the hot summer months, which we've had lately, that we can provide enough storage and enough pressure and enough water to provide for everybody adequately. And I guess that's kind of where I'm at on the deal.
Thank you, Mr. Overgaard. Members, do we have any questions? Okay, Representative Schumacher, would you like to have final thoughts?
No, just thank you.
Well, thank you so much for presenting, and thank you for taking time out of your day, Mr. Holtz and Mr. Overgaard, for discussing your needs in Rock County. I know Representative Schumacher has been twisting my ear about this water project, so I'm glad that you were able to twist the ear of the committee as well. Thank you. Okay, Representative Torkelson, you are up next. Thank you. Make your way to the testifying table and state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Good morning, Madam Chair. It's great to be back in the Capital Investment Committee, and I want to thank you for hearing these bills today. The first bill of the three I have up deals with the City of Revere, and I have an able-bodied testifier here to explain the bill.
Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
My name is Christy Butler. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. I am the city clerk for the City of Revere. We are located 80 miles west of Mankato on U.S. Highway 14 in Redwood County, southwest Minnesota. I am pleased to have with me today Councilmember Rob Albertson and also Laura Osley, representing the city's engineering firm. I would like to draw your attention to the ivory cardstock paper with the City of Revere on the top. Revere is seeking $3.6 million in assistance from the state to fund an innovative $5.5 million plan to rebuild our city streets and failing storm sewer system in a manner that will be cost-effective and environmentally sound for the next 40 years. Revere is a city of 88 people where 90% of the households are low to moderate income. An average water sewer bill in our community already exceeds $100 per month. Of that population, we have a board and care home that houses 20 plus people with more than 90% receiving county assistance. Revere is a property tax poor community. We rank in the bottom fourth percentile of city and township taxing jurisdictions based on the adjusted net tax capacity. Revere has no financial sustainable way of meeting this committee's desired funding match of 50% or more. In 2022, we began working with a new engineering firm. We have a new plan and solution to move forward with. The first thing we did was throw out our original $9.3 million plan to reconstruct everything as is and replace it with a $5.5 million plan that is more cost-effective and environmentally sustainable. The new plan decreases the cost by almost half. We will redesign and narrow the city street width by 25% or more, which will also reduce the size of our storm sewer system. Beyond saving on construction costs, this plan will also diminish ongoing maintenance and stormwater runoff moving forward. Over the road's 40-year lifespan, maintenance will be reduced by 86% from an average of $175,000 a year to only $24,000 a year. The city was able to secure a $600,000 federal grant from HUD to contribute to the project, but the remaining portion is only eligible for a 20-year USDA loan, not the more affordable 40-year loan terms that are typically available for other projects. These shorter loan terms will require a steeper increase in property tax and utility rates. We respect the concerns raised by this committee about significant state expenditures for very small cities. This is why I want to emphasize to this committee that our city council and engineering firm have seriously worked hard to bring you this innovative plan. We have reduced project costs by 40%, reduced new city debt by 68%, and reduced our request for state funding by 23%. We respectfully ask for consideration of our request for $3.6 million in state funding for a project that is environmentally and financially sound. It will benefit the citizens of Revere for the next 40 years and beyond. Perhaps this project will become a template for addressing infrastructure needs in other small cities that are facing similar difficulties. Madam Chair and members, thank you for your time and support for the City of Revere.
Thank you, Ms. Butler. Mr. Albertson, did you want to add anything? No? Okay. Members, questions? On that 3.6, is it possible to, do you need all of it up at once or can it be phased into two bills?
No, there isn't able to be phased.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Torkelson, final thoughts?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to emphasize the innovative nature of this project. The City of Revere happens to have very wide streets when it was laid out. This project to narrow the streets has a dramatic impact to decrease the cost of maintaining these streets in this city in the long term. Whether it's snow plowing or repaving, all of that is reduced dramatically by the nature of this project. So I just think it's important to emphasize this innovative approach to a very important project for this small city.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm actually very impressed with the flyer, so good job on that. I think more people should do that. It's very easy to read and understand the needs of the project. So thank you. Okay, thank you for making your way down today and testifying for the City of Revere. Next up, Representative Torkelson, you have House File 1452 for New Ulm. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. Welcome.
Hello. Good morning, Chair Franson and committee members. My name is Chris Manderfeld. I am the Utility Director for the New Ulm Public Utilities. The utility is in New Ulm, which is has approximately 14,000 residents. It's in the south central of Minnesota. The utility serves all utilities, electric, gas, water, sewer, and the utility is requesting $4.021 million. It's to complete a gravity sewer flow project. And this project would also include the replacement of an 1897 cast iron water main and also aging storm sewer. Currently, this project is 80% 87% done. We've got three remaining blocks to be finished in the middle, so we've been able to do both ends, and the middle part is left. Unfortunately, the middle part is the most costly. The sanitary sewer is approximately 30 feet deep, so it's a pretty expensive three blocks. The city and utility has already spent $6.9 million on the project, we're just asking to get this project complete. The street reconstruction project isn't on our city's CIP plan. There's not funding available through the utility street and alley funding process. The city is unable to assess 20% of the project as it's adjacent to a city park, and homeowners along the area have already been assessed. So the utility would need to fund this strictly on its own. The long-range plan has been to complete the gravity sewer project. However, at this point, our Center Street lift station is deteriorating rapidly. So it's come to the point where something needs to be done. The lift station is unsafe. I think on the attachment that you guys have all gotten, there are photos on the back of it that show the deterioration of the lift station. Currently, any maintenance that's done on that lift station is being done through access hatches rather than entering the lift station. So, and this is strictly due to safety. So with asking for the funding, I just want to point out that the utility currently also has outstanding debt from PFA for phosphorus remediation, and then also for a revenue bonding for the sludge treatment process that we have in New Ulm. With completion of the project, the utility would be able to decommission this aging, unsafe lift station. We would be able to finish the three blocks that are remaining, and that would decrease the possibility of the failure of a lift station. This lift station is right along the Minnesota River. So any failure could potentially compromise the river that's directly next to it. It would also decrease any operating and maintenance costs that are getting extremely expensive due to the aging. It would eliminate electrical costs of the aging and inefficient equipment. And we would also be able to replace a 1897 water main, which is also experiencing water main breaks. The gravity sewer and water main project would serve the utility for 75 to 100 years. So with that, I thank you for your time and consideration, and if you have any questions.
Thank you. Members, questions? Any phasing opportunities?
It wouldn't be because it's three blocks, and once we're digging 30 feet, we probably want to finish it.
You don't want a big 30-foot hole for a couple of years?
Yeah, probably not.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Well, at least the committee has a good idea that you don't want people to fall in a hole.
Yeah.
So that's good. Representative Torkelson, anything to add?
Just to emphasize that they've already spent significant amount of funds in the kind of on either end of this project, so the local contribution really has already been spent in many ways, and this is an important keystone in finishing up this line.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming on down today and advocating for your city. We appreciate that.
Thank you for your time.
And you're appreciate welcome. It. Representative Torkelson, you have up the city of Lamberton. House File 1454. Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Hi, I'm Valerie Halter. I am the city clerk of the city of Lamberton. Thank you, Chair Franzen and committee members. I am from city of Lamberton. We are a small town of 800 people located in southwest Minnesota. I am joined today by Lydell Sheik, Mayor of Lamberton, Councilmember Amanda Cairns, Justin Traum, Public Works Supervisor, and Laura Osteel, representing the city's engineering firm. The City of Lamberton is requesting $1.95 million from the state to help cover a funding gap for a critical infrastructure project. This project will address essential water, sanitary sewer, storm sewer, and street reconstruction needs, ensuring the safety and well-being of our 800 residents, businesses, and local school district. Water is the backbone of our community's health and safety. Lamberton is home to a medical clinic, a nursing home, restaurants, and a brand new $48 million Red Rock Central K through 12 school, which opened in October of 2024. Each of these facilities depends on clean and reliable water to meet health code, sanitation requirements, and emergency preparedness standards. Without adequate water infrastructure, these vital institutions face operational risks that directly impact public health and safety. Our city currently operates on a single well with no adequate backup source. If the well fails, we have only 36 hours before the entire city loses service. This is not a hypothetical concern. It has happened multiple times due to electrical surges that shut our water pumps down. Additionally, Lamberton plays a crucial role in regional emergency response. Last year, during a mutual aid fire, our city supplied well over 180,000 gallons of water because our neighboring towns lacked the capacity to provide the necessary volume. Without improvements to our system, we risk being unable to meet future emergency demands, putting lives and property in danger. The investment is not only about addressing current deficiency, but also about securing Lamberton's future. The new school represents a significant investment in our region's educational and growth. The state's help in this infrastructure investment will allow Lamberton to build two wells that will provide resiliency and the capacity to meet the needs of the community. The City of Lamberton has made the investment of engineering this project, so it is shovel ready. Our city has already reached the maximum bond capacity limit following previous street reconstruction projects. We have included letters of support from both businesses and residents of Lamberton supporting the city's funding efforts. As our handout details, our debt service burden is significantly higher than comparable communities, making the state support essential for completing this project. Our ask of $1.95 million in support from the state towards our $7.3 million project will immediately support our school district, medical clinic, and well as other businesses and residents. Long term, it will lead to the increased tax base, lower property tax burden, and increasing and improving the long term viability of the City of Lamberton. Now, this ask of the $1.95 million is phase one of $54.3 million total needs package that we have. So this is just phase one of our needs. We urge you to support our request to improve Lamberton's water infrastructure. This investment will directly impact public health and safety, ensure fire protection capabilities, support our new school, and provide the resilience needed for our community to continue to thrive. Chair Franzen and members, thank you for your time and your commitment to the safety and well-being of the Lamberton residents.
Thank you for testifying. Let's see, Mr. Silk, did you have anything to add?
No.
No?
Thank you.
Okay. Members, questions, comments? Okay, final thoughts, Representative Torkelson.
Well, once again, Madam Chair, first I'd like to thank my testifiers that made the trek here to the Capitol to present their cases for these very important projects. I think it just kind of emphasizes the challenges of small towns all across the state to meet the needs of their residents without burdening them with the bills of their utility bills that would be just exorbitant and make it almost impossible to market the homes in these small towns. So I appreciate your hearing these bills, and I appreciate your work in this very important area for the state of Minnesota. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you for advocating for your small cities, Representative Torkelson, and thank you for coming down to the Capitol today. We appreciate you and your time.
You.
Representative Smith, you may make your way up with your testifiers, and then we're going to have Representative Burkle next on deck. So, Representative Burkle, if you want to go behind the testifying table with your testifiers for your bill. Thank you. Representative Smith, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. Representative Andy Smith, District 25B. Happy to be here before the committee. I am pleased to be with you all to present House File 505. The City of Rochester is pursuing an expansion of sanitary sewer infrastructure to support the growing demand for housing and other expansions in our region. Madam Chair, the project will cost $34.5 million. Rochester is asking for $17.25 million of that through state bonding. The city will meet the committee's local share requirement for the rest of that. And as I know is music to the committee's ears, this is a feasible project, but we would like it to be started very, very soon, which is why we're before you today. Madam Chair, I have Rochester City Council President Randy Shubring here next to me, as well as Ryan Yetzer, who is a assistant city administrator. Both came up from Rochester for today's hearing. And I'm going to turn it over to them with your permission to talk more about the project.
Yes, please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Randy Shubring. I'm the City Council President for the City of Rochester. Thank you to the Capital Investment Committee and Representative Smith for authoring House File 505, along with Representatives Liebling and Hicks for co-authoring. Rochester is the third largest city in Minnesota with a population currently at 125,000. The city is home to the Mayo Clinic and several other commercial and industrial businesses that provide valuable jobs to southeastern Minnesota. The city's comprehensive plan anticipates 55,000 new residents, 50,000 new jobs, and 24,000 new housing units by 2040. The city's treatment system has capacity. However, portions of our sanitary sewer pipes are undersized, most notably the sewer truck line we are seeking funding assistance for. In order to increase the available land for housing of all types, an increase of sewer pipe capacity is needed. If we can increase the land lot availability for housing and decrease lot cost with additional supply, it helps with housing supply and affordability. The majority of the existing sewer network is a 33-inch pipe, which will be replaced by a 60-inch pipe, five feet. This upsized pipe will increase, will create 2.5 to 3 times the capacity and position the city to meet projected housing and growth for years to come. As Representative Smith said, the project is feasible. I want to emphasize that as well. It can be broken down into planning, design, and construction components. It can also be broken down into segments along the sewer line. We can provide those estimates to the committee and staff. The project will be primarily focused on directly creating approximately 1,000 developable acres of land. This project will promote infill development opportunities and potential commercial and industrial opportunities as well. If we don't add this sewer capacity to meet the demand, housing, commercial, and industrial development will be put on hold. We greatly appreciate the committee's consideration and ask for your support. Ryan Yetzer, our assistant city administrator, is available for questions if the committee has them.
Thank you. Let's see here. Your next testifier, did you have anything else to add to that? State your name if you.
Ryan Yetzer, assistant city administrator for the City of Rochester. Nothing further to add. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Members, any questions? Representative Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just kind of wondering, what's the average household cost for people's sewer bill down in Rochester? And thank you.
Who would like to take that?
Ryan. Thanks for the question.
Mr. Shubring?
And I'd be happy to find that answer and send it to the committee. I don't want to, I could guess, but I don't want to guess and be significantly off. So we'll get that answer for you. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Closing thoughts there, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just say thank you for hearing this bill. This is a critical part of Rochester. We are expanding quickly, but also comes with a lot of growing pains, particularly in our housing stock. And this project will go quite a long way to help our city. So thank you for listening today.
Thank you for advocating for your city. Thank you for making your way down to the Capitol. We appreciate that.
All right, next up, Representative Burkle, and then we are going to go to Representative Scraba. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Representative John Burkle, District 1A. And knowing how lengthy Representative Scraba can be, I'll be quick. Thank you for this informational hearing on House File 602, a bill that would appropriate $8 million to the improvements to water and sewer infrastructure in the city of Stephen. The project would include replacement of piping, gate valves, check valves, and such, as well as a new water tower pump and controls. And I will let the Stephen City Administrator sitting next to me introduce herself and go through the handout and explain the project in more detail.
Chair Franzen, members of committee, my name is Christy.
Ma'am, if you could just speak right into, thank you.
Sorry. Chair Franzen, members of the committee, my name is Kristen Gajewski. I serve as clerk in Stephen, Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today about the urgent infrastructure challenges facing our community and our request for bonding support. The city of Stephen is a small rural town in northwest Minnesota, located just 40 miles from the Canadian border. Our community of approximately 600 residents are proud, resilient, and deeply invested in the well-being of our town. However, our aging infrastructure presents an urgent challenge that we can no longer afford to patch up with temporary solutions. Our city supports roughly 318 residential and commercial service hookups, but the water and sewer infrastructure serving them is failing. 22% of our existing water main dates back to 1940 and 1950, and 55% of it as a whole is from the 1970s or earlier. 40% of our sanitary sewer was installed between the 1920s and 1940s, and 80% of it is from 1960 or earlier. The consequences of this aging infrastructure have been severe. Over the past decade, Stephen has experienced at least 20 water main breaks, with one of the most significant occurring just in March of 2023. This break left one-third of our city, including 11 businesses, 4 apartment buildings, 2 churches, and our high school without water. The break in our original 1938 cast iron pipe resulted in multiple failures down the line. Repair efforts were complicated by a nearby gas line, forcing us to run 2 2-inch temporary above-ground lines to restore the water. In true small-town spirit, our community came together. A local farmer donated flax bales to insulate the temporary lines above ground. Since the school needed to be closed, high school students volunteered to lay down the bales, and the citizens provided meals for the workers enduring the sub-zero temperatures. You'll find a picture of those helpful students included in the project information on the back. Unfortunately, that temporary fix was not sustainable. The lines froze on Easter before water was fully restored in June of 2023. That single incident alone cost the city approximately $180,000, and the roads still remain unrepaired, representing an additional financial burden. Unfortunately, the situation is only worsening. In just the first 2 months of 2025, Stephen has already experienced 4 water main breaks. Our system is beyond repair. Some sections are so fragile that merely just using a fire hydrant could lead to the catastrophic collapse of the entire loop. The city has made investments in our above-ground water storage and our water tower refurbishment to ensure drinking water, safety, and fire protection. But these efforts are only a fraction of what is needed. Continued wastewater issues have led to multiple episodes of untreated sewage being released into the Tamarack River. A notable incident occurred in 2015 that did just that and cost the city approximately $200,000. We cannot continue to put Band-Aids on a system that is in a state of near total failure. The risk of a permanent infrastructure collapse is increasing with each passing year, and without significant investment, the health, safety, and viability of our community are at risk. Committee members, we ask for your urgent consideration in providing the necessary funding to replace Stephen's complete water main and sanitary sewer infrastructure. The investment is not just about fixing pipes, it's about securing the future of our community, ensuring safe and reliable access to water, and preventing catastrophic failures that could displace residences and businesses alike. Thank you for your time and consideration. We deeply appreciate your support and help in helping Stephen make the necessary improvements to protect our community for generations to come.
Thank you. Members, questions? No? All right. Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you've heard from Kristen here, the water project is extremely important to the city of Stephen, and appreciate the opportunity to place the needs of the community in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for coming down to the Capitol today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have my bill. I'm sure you're all thrilled about that. So we'll have Lead Lee will take over. Oh, wait. Hold on. Forget that. I'm jumping ahead. We forgot Representative Scraba. I don't know how we could have done that. Oh, my. Yeah. Can't believe we did that.
I was going to do
probably that. Because it's a campground bill.
Yeah. I'm going to do the reach. Madam Chair, mm-hmm. Representative Scraba, representing Little Forks RV Public Campground, which they need a septic system and water system. That's the reach. That's the purpose for being here today. We have two people online. If you could call
certainly.
Them up.
Mm-hmm. Please state your name for the record, and you may proceed to whomever is online. Hold on a sec, though. We're having a little bit of... Okay, there we go. All right, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
My name is Jason Schopp. I'm the city engineer for the city of Little Fork. With me is Sarah Wendt, city councilor, Little Fork, and I just got a message from her that she's unable to get off of mute, so I don't know if that can be handled on that end.
And the mayor's in Alaska, so he can't be reached. So
okay.
We're reaching out to try to find people.
Yeah, and Sarah's on vacation in Texas as well, but she has the ability to try to join. I think here she is.
Hello.
Yes, please state your name for the record, and you may proceed.
Hi, my name is Sarah Wendt, and I am a city councilor for the city of Little Fork. We are looking for funding to support our ATV park and campground. I'm here today with Jason Chopp, who is our city engineer, and I'm going to work on getting my video turned on here, but I'm going to pass this over to him to discuss in greater detail.
All right. Please state your name for the record. You may proceed.
Oh, yeah, Jason Chopp here, city engineer for city of Little Fork. Little Fork is a very small town, approximately 550 residents in rural Kuching County. It has a rich cultural history, and it's surrounded by a vast amount of public lands and public outdoor recreation. Economic tourism is enhanced by that outdoor recreation opportunities. There are local waterways that are frequented by kayakers and canoers, along with small and big game hunters, fishermen, and ATV outdoor recreationalists. There is recently completed a three-county ATV master plan, of which this project is located adjacent to the Blue Ox State ATV and Snowmobile Trail. ATV trail environmental assessment worksheet has been completed for ongoing expansion of these recreational trails. The proposed project is a recreation vehicle campground. It is being proposed on an abandoned gravel quarry outside the city of Little Fork, adjacent to the state trail. This is a campground with full water, sewer, and electrical utilities. And it is there to accommodate RV campers, primitive tent sites, and accommodate ATV users along this corridor. It will also include restroom and shower facilities, a public beach playground, and a fishing pier. Today, the total project cost is $5 million, and today the city of Little Fork is requesting $2.5 million in bonding. With that, we could field any questions if there are any from the committee.
Member questions. Representative Scraba's itching for it, but we are running out of time.
Yep. We would appreciate any support we can get on this project.
Representative Scraba.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. We'd appreciate any support on this project. It's a rural project, and it really helps folks up there living.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for taking the time today to testify over Zoom. We appreciate that. Thank you, Representative Scraba. Okay, finally. My bill for House File 490.
Please proceed, Chair Franzen.
Thank you. I'm just going to call you chair for fun, okay? We have here House File 490 with the ALASD, which is Alexandria Lake Area Sanitary District. But before I proceed, of course, you guys know that Alexandria is what? The easiest city to get to, but hard to leave, right? Okay, so we're asking for $25 million to upgrade our facility and meet MPCA guidelines. And with that, I'll turn over the testimony to Mr. Gilbertson.
Welcome, Director. Please identify yourself and proceed.
Thank you, Chair Lee. My name is Scott Gilbertson. I'm the Executive Director for Alexandria Lake Area Sanitary District. And thank you, Madam Chair, for introducing the bill and all your support. She's been on the ground at our facility and did the hard hat tour, so she knows what our needs are. Who is ALASD? You know, we are what you would consider the definition of regional. We serve the City of Alexandria, City of Nelson, City of Ferrata, 8 townships and a population of 28,000. We cover 100 square miles in our district. What is a water reclamation facility and what does it protect? So that's our term for a wastewater treatment facility. But a water reclamation facility really encompasses what our water quality is after it gets treated. It's of reuse quality, and we are protecting Lake Winona and the chain of 5 lakes that all flow to the Long Prairie River watershed. All of these lakes are extremely high quality and have Lake Carlos campground on Lake Carlos, which is at the tail end of our chain of lakes. All the wastewater is collected and conveyed to one central treatment facility. That is our water reclamation facility, which we need the $85 million upgrade to. And why do we need $85 million? It's primarily due to nutrient removal. So MPCA has imposed a very stringent phosphorus limit. We've been removing phosphorus for decades, but this limit is one of the most stringent phosphorus limits in the country. What we are proposing to do and what we are going to do is install a biological nutrient removal system to do low-level phosphorus removal and total nitrogen removal with membrane bioreactors, which is ultrafiltration. Ultrafiltration is 0.04 micron membrane, so every drop of water needs to go through this membrane before it's discharged. That will remove all non-soluble particles, including microplastics, viruses, bacteria, so we will have a reusable water for golf course irrigation. We could use it for street sweeping. There's a lot of other uses that are available. Why does this project cost so much? $85 million is a huge, massive project for ALASD. 6 years ago, I would have estimated $45 million. So that's the escalators. We're using a very pragmatic approach. We're not building office space. We're not building maintenance facilities. This is rebar, concrete, equipment, and labor costs to construct it. So when you get to a facility of our size, the costs go up exponentially. How are we going to pay for this? Through rate increases. We've already established 3 consecutive 10% rate increases. In the last 4 years, this last year in 2025, we did a 12% rate increase. We're looking at PSIG dollars. We really need that cap for PSIG to be up, because $7 million doesn't quite match what some of our projects are costing. And we are really concerned for our senior citizens. We have a lot of senior people that live in our community, and we're concerned that our user rates are going to become untenable. We want to start construction in 2025, and again, we are desperate and in need of some appropriated funds for a bonding bill, and we also really need a bonding bill to pass. Our funds are locked up in the PFA right now, so we need those funds unlocked through the revolving fund.
Thank you, Director. Chair Franzen, closing comments?
I hope that we can make this as one of our stops when we do our bonding tour. He does run an excellent facility.
Thank you, Chair Franzen. Having no business before us, the committee is adjourned.